We live in a world that speaking with many voices. Voices speaking to us want to direct us in all kinds of directions. There are certain things that we must become conversant of, certain things that we must settle in our lives if we're going to experience all of God. Challenges are many. And it's so easy for us to come to a place where we just want to settle. We just want to settle. Because settling seems to be the easiest thing to do. To stand for something and to continue means continued fighting. And when does the fight stop? It's a real question. When will I stop fighting? See, everything is a fight. Everything is a fight. Everything is a fight. You want this, you have to fight for it. And when do I stop fighting? But then there's a flip side. Because in the fighting, God tells you to settle down and chill, because he's going to do the fighting. But the amazing thing about that is that God lives inside of you. And if God is doing the fighting, he's using you. So we faced with all these messages and not certain what we need to do. And so many times, people give up, and all they want to do is say, "Que sera, sera."
She said to me, "Que sera, sera, whatever will be, the future's not ours to see, que sera, sera,
you know,
what will be,
the future is not for you to see,
just, when I grew up,
whatever will happen, but no, that's not how God wants it. God wants you and I to be part of what he wants to do today. A blind man called Bartimaeus heard about the Lord Jesus Christ and he began to cry out like we cried out this morning. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 38, he's crying out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." But watch what happens. The next verse says, "And they which went before," they which went before, they which went before. In other words, they were ahead of him. Rebuked him. It's like you are a young believer and you just believe what the word of God says and you just want to have faith and somebody comes and says, "Just take it easy. It's not like that. Just chill, cool. You're too fanatic about this, you know, just you know, when after he's been around for a few months, he will settle down." Thank God. In spite of the many voices that want to shut me up, shut you up, You've not listened to their voices, and you've made a decision that today is going to be the day for your miracle. Those that went ahead, that were before, rebuked him that he what? Should. That he should. That he should hold his peace. He should be quiet. You're not supposed to be talking. Keep your mouth shut. But he cried so much the more. My prayer today is that every one of us will resist the devil and do exactly what the devil doesn't want us to do. Amen. You know something? You know, it's just remarkable. You know, every time Mama is here reading the scriptures, something is happening, you know, because we never discuss the message or what's going to happen on any particular Sunday, none of that. But one of the discussions I was having with the Lord this morning was rather interesting. He said something to me that caught my attention. And the passage that we were reading from was a passage he was talking to me about. And he said to me, he said, son, anytime the devil comes to you and wants to tell you about something that you cannot have, it's because he knows that you already have it. When the enemy says to you, you are defeated, it's because he knows that you are victorious. That is your cue to push ahead forcefully because you are at the verge of your breakthrough. Yes. He says, you know, just bow down. Just do this. Just do that. You're going to get the world. That means I already have it. I already have it. Why does the devil come to Jesus and say to him, if thou be the Son of God? Because God already said that he is. When the enemy challenges your uprightness, your righteousness, it's because he knows that you already have it. You are what God says, but the enemy wants you to believe his lie. Hallelujah. And child of God, you must not settle to the lies of the enemy. You must embrace the word of God with great authority and push forward. The Bible says he cried much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy. What did he want? He'd heard that Jesus had done all kinds of miracles. And he'd come to the decision, if God did that, he can do this for me. Well, I'm not coming based on my righteousness because I think I'm worthy. I'm coming because I need mercy. I need what? Mercy. That's a powerful key to receive him from God. Drawing on the mercies of God. In Psalm 33, verse 21 and 22, I actually thought that I was going to be preaching from this passage this morning. Because around 3 o'clock in the morning, the Lord woke me up with that passage of scripture or the chapter. I said, Lord, I thought we were doing something else. What is this? What are you trying to say? But I've learned through the years that when God says something, it has to play with whatever it is that you're going to be doing that day. So the word of God says, for our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his what? Holy name. Our hearts will rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. And listen to the next verse. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us. How? According as we hope in Thee. The mercy of God is extended to you according to how you hope in Him. When your hope is in the Lord and you recognize that it's not because of what you can do or have done, what you have put in the balance, in the bank of credits, but because of His mercy, then things change. You know, sometimes your credits can become your problem. Because your credits become what you are placing your faith in. Look at what I have done. Look at what I've accomplished. God, because of this that I've done and because of that which I've done, you got to do this. You may get away with that for a while, but you pay a price for it. There was a man called Hezekiah. Did a lot of good stuff. And he's sick unto death. And the prophet of God comes to him and says, you're going to die. Get your house ready. You're going to die. The man turns his face to the wall and says, God, this is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Look at all the wonderful things I've done for you. Okay. All right. I'm not going to owe you. Isaiah go back and tell him that he's not going to die. So Isaiah goes back, tells him, you're not going to die. He says, well, hold it. What do you mean I'm not going to die? You just left here some 10 minutes ago and you come back and tell me, you know, you told me the first time you're going to die and now you come back and tell me you're not going to die? So I need proof. What proof do you want? Back up time, 10 degrees. Back up time. So Isaiah says, time, you're backed up. And the clock goes down 10 degrees. In other words, all that time that Isaiah spent to speak to him was erased. Are you with me so far? So now, the new words he's hearing from Isaiah is, you're going to live. Great. He's healed. Well, guess what? When you, as Hezekiah, come to God and you pull on your credits, you're going to find out sooner or later that when God leaves you alone to your own devices, you're going to become wicked. Hezekiah, who did such an amazing thing, worked with God, died. He died and did not care about his children because of the mistakes he made. He didn't care. They can have the problem. He did not fight for the security of his children because, look at me. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying, listen, don't go to God with your own righteousness. Go to God when you want anything from God and plead for mercy. Mercy. Oh, God, you got to meet my need because I'm a tither. You're looking for trouble. Mercy. It is because of your mercy that I was able to tithe. It was because of your mercy that I was able to honor my vows. It was because of your mercy that I was able to praise and worship. It's because of your mercy that when I went through that crisis and went through that I was able to still stand. It was not because I did this and I did that and I did this and I did that and I did this and I... It's a good thing to do all those things. I'm not saying that's not good to do those things. All I'm saying to you today by the Spirit of the living God is it's about mercy. Mercy. Say that word with me.
Mercy.
You and I need it. God, your mercy. Because without God's mercy, without God's grace, without God's power working on your behalf, you will fail just like everybody else. I cannot rely on my ability. I can only rely on God's mercy to carry me, to help me. Have you heard of people that you know better doing crazy things? And you wonder, huh? No. Not possible. Not that person. Because they are relying on their machoism. Don't rely on yourself. Rely on the mercies of God. Psalm 33 again. I want to go to verse 10 and read down from verse 10 a little bit. The word of God says, "The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught," in Jesus' name. Amen. "He maketh the devices of the people of none effect." Verse 11. "The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations." Watch this. "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." Verse 13. "The Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth the sons of men." Verse 14. "From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth." And watch this. "He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works." Are you ready for this? There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. Do you know when the Lord Jesus Christ did his greatest work? Huh? Do you know? His most effective and most powerful work. Do you know when he did it? He did it when he was alone. Not when he had the multitudes. God's greatest demonstration of his power is manifested in the few, not in the multitude. God produces multitudes and God works with the multitudes and all of that. But ultimately, he works with the few. You know, the most effective time that the church had was not when they were 5,000 saved and 3,000 saved. It was when they got scattered. And it says, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." You know, saved by the multitude. Listen to the next verse. "An horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength." It's not where it is at. The tools that you've got, the knowledge that you've got, the abilities that you've got, it's not in that. It's all in the mercies of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, why do I bring you through that particular concept of the mercies of God? Because the main thrust of what I'm really talking to you about today is not really about that. It's about not settling. Not settling, but being deliberate. But if you're going to be deliberate, then I want you to understand how our deliberation and our capacity to be deliberate, that it is located in the mercies of God. That whatever it is you want to accomplish, that you accomplish it in the mercies of God. Because in your own ability, what you're going to do is going to be settling. You're going to settle. You'll be tired of the fighting and say, well, I guess this is okay. I learned recently what the cause of settling is. And I was talking to the Lord about this. I said, exactly why did you let me go through that particular situation? He said, I want you to understand what settling does to you as an individual. I've told this story quite a few times recently. I was shopping for a vehicle. The vehicle I had was still very good. There's nothing wrong with it. The mileage was quite low. I've been driving it for well over 10 years. It looked like speaking brand new. I still love that particular vehicle. I like the way it's shaped. I like the way it looks. It's very classic. You know, it's just an amazing vehicle. But there was a sense inside of me that it was time for change. And leading to it, I've been driving Buicks for the longest time. Almost every other vehicle was a Buick. But leading towards this time that I sensed God was saying, it's time to change, I said, I think I want to go to a different type. I'm not going to do GM. I'm going to do something international. Or at least, if not that, I want to do something other than Buicks and GM and stuff like that. So, I saw a vehicle. It was a Lincoln. And oh my, this one was hot. I love this Lincoln. Oh, as soon as I saw it, I said, oh, then they told me the price. I said, I don't like you. I said, I don't like you. No. I said, Lord, you know what I liked inside this vehicle? It's got to be somewhere else. At the price I feel comfortable with, and I believe you can. Not that God cannot provide me that one that I was looking at. That's not a problem. That's not the issue. But I liked it, but then I didn't like it. So one day, the Lord says, I want you to go to this dealership. So I go to that dealership, and I see a particular vehicle there that looked a lot like the Lincoln, and the inside was just as pleasant. I said, how much is this one? They told me how much it was. I said, I like this one. This I can work with. So I had my colors and my stuff all put together, and this is going to look really sharp. To place the order for it. It's going to come all the way from Seoul, Korea. I'm waiting for it. And they said, no, this thing is going to take a while. It's not going to happen like that. But I had a deadline for my vehicle. I wanted to get rid of this other vehicle because I had another plan. And so they showed me one. It looked right, looked good. and I settled. Are you with me? I settled. I drove this new car that I like. There's nothing wrong with it. It's beautiful. I'm driving it. 3 months in, I am not satisfied with this car no more. It's nice. Just the other day, I was in the San Vitel area, and somebody came to me and says, "Oh my, this car is amazing. Do you like it?" I said, "Yes." People have stopped me about this particular vehicle, just awed at how nice this vehicle was. But I'm saying, it's nice, but why am I not happy with it? Until God did another miracle and brought back those guys that I got the vehicle from, called me and said, "We want to put you in the newest model." I just got the car like 6 months ago. "We're going to put you in the newest model." I said, "Can I get the colors I want?" He said, "You can get it." And how much is it? You pay the same thing. I said, "What happens to my car?" "We're going to take it back and we're going to pay your lease off, and then we'll put you in a new one." I said, "Huh? You're saying what?" All of a sudden, my joy. Now I'm going to get what I want. Hallelujah. But you know the amazing thing about it all? I looked at the white one that I was totally now not satisfied with. I said, "You're a very nice looking car." What craziness is this? When you settle, you end up not being happy. When you settle, you don't feel good. You understand? You don't feel good. You know, there's a guy called James Brown. You remember him? He used to sing a song. "I feel good.
I feel good. I knew that I would not. I feel good."
Praise the Lord.
"I knew that I would."
Settling doesn't cause you to feel good. You cannot settle. Because maybe that's too much. No. Never settle. And if you're not a person who's going to settle, you're going to have to rely on the mercies of God. Because it's so natural for us to settle. In Mark 9, the Bible tells us that Jesus is up the mountain of transfiguration, and there's Moses and Elijah and Jesus, and Peter says, "Let's make 3 tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." And God says, "We're not settling. There's one voice. It's the voice of Jesus. This is the voice you listen to. This is the one I'm pleased with. I am not pleased with settlers." As great as Moses was, Moses settled. As great as Elijah was, he settled. I don't have time to go through all of those things right now, but Jesus was not about to settle. The Bible says that he set his face as a flint. He targeted where he wanted to go, and he moved for it. You know, in Luke chapter 9, Beginning to read from verse 51. It says, "And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up." It came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He set his face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem. And this next point I'm about to make is crucial, because certain things will fall away from your life when you have become deliberate and focused on what you know God has for you. It's going to be automatic. It's going to be automatic. Because the Bible says in the next verse, listen to this. He says, "He sent messengers before his face, and they went and they entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him." Where did he set his face to go? To Jerusalem. "But he sent messengers before his face, and they went and they entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him." Ah, watch this now. "And they did not receive" what? "Him." They did not receive him. Why? Because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. So he was rejected in that Samaritan community, not because of anything else, but because he is carrying an atmosphere. The atmosphere is, "I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to Jerusalem." What are you so driven by that causes people to say, "This is not for you"? There are certain things that will not come into your life because of where your face is looking. There are certain temptations that will not come close to you because of how driven you are. Hello? If you settle, you're going down. You've heard me say it before, never peak. How many of you heard me say that before? Don't peak. Because as soon as you peak, you start falling. And the word of God says in Isaiah chapter 9, it says, "Of the increase of his peace, his government and peace, there shall be no end." There's continued increase. God is always increasing. If the world, the universe, peaks, it will collapse. You understand? It will collapse. And God doesn't want that for me, and God doesn't want that for you. Don't settle. Don't settle concerning anything that the enemy brings into your life. The enemy brings the idea, the thought, "You know, you're getting old now. You're getting old. And because you're getting old now, your teeth are going to start falling out." It's denture time. The devil's a liar. Hallelujah. The devil is a liar. Not when the word of God says, "My youth is renewed like the eagles." The devil wants you to settle because of what's happening everywhere else. Everybody this, everybody that. No, if you're not doing it, everybody isn't doing it. Why do I need to settle? You know, times are hard. For who? For who are times hard? The Bible says it is the way of the wicked that is hard. The word of God says take on my yoke. It's easy. My burden is light. Oh, life is so hard. No, no. I am not going to settle for that. It may be hard for you. Those that were ahead of Bartimaeus told him to shut up. I'm not going to shut up. Well, you know, learn from my experience. Good. That was your experience. That's not my experience. That's not going to be my portion. Well, you know, every person that has a healing ministry was at some point deadly sick. No, that's not my portion. Hallelujah. Because I did not read in the Bible that Jesus was deadly sick. So why am I going to accept that? I don't care what the pattern is, what the polls say. I don't care what anybody says about any subject. What I want to find out is, God, what do you have to say about this? And never settle, because that's how it normally happens. It is the traditions of men that make the word of God of none effect. Are you listening? The Lord says that if you place your hand on the plow and you start looking back, you're not worthy of the kingdom. Don't start listening to all kinds of voices out there. What Johnny did is what Johnny did. But if that's not what God told me to do, I don't care whether we are the fastest of friends. I'm not doing that. Because God did not tell me that that is what I'm called to do. I'm going to do what God said. And I'm going to continue with what God said. Because you know what? Every one of us ultimately will stand alone. You're not going to stand with your wife, with your husband, with your children. Everybody will give an account of themselves before the Lord. You and him. You and him. You and him. Me and him. And it doesn't matter how many votes I have. Oh God, he's such a good guy. If God says no, he wins. And if everybody says, that's a terrible guy, and God says, he's a good guy, he wins. So guess who I'm going to please? God. Because there are all kinds of forces that want you to please all kinds of things. Make a decision. In Mark chapter 8, verse 22. The word of God says, he came to Bethsaida, that last part there, Saida, means fish. So Bethsaida means a house of fish. Fishes. It says, they bring to him a blind man unto him and besought him to touch this blind man. Verse 23. And he took the blind man by the hand. Took him by the hand And he led him out of the town. You know, normally when Jesus touches people, all kinds of miracles happen. But he's actually touching this guy, holding this guy by the hand, and walking with him. And the guy is still as blind as he was from day one. There are times when the Lord can touch you and you think it's going to happen the way it happened for that person, the way it happened for that person, the way it happened for that person, and it does not work because he's not ready yet. He knows what he's doing. He leads him out of the town. Why? You see, sometimes you can't be in a group of people and all you know is what's happening in that group. And you're blind to the realities of life. He takes him, this blind man, he takes him out. And then he does a strange thing. He says, and when he had spit on his eyes, that's totally unconventional. Brings the guy out, and the next thing, spits on the guy's face, right on his eyes. And then he puts his hand upon him and he asks him if he saw or if he sees anything. Now, remember what I'm talking about. Don't settle. Yeah? If you're blind, meaning that you cannot see at all, and you're asked this question, do you see? Next verse. We're going to answer the question. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. If you ask the question, do you see? Can you see? What would your answer be? Yeah, sure, I see. Most people would just stop at, I see. Will he be telling the truth? Absolutely. Because he is better than he used to be. And this is where many times we settle. I am not exactly what I used to be. I am better now. And we continue with the I am better now. And not pursue after the fact that we can be better than just better. He says, I see men as trees. Let me stop there for a moment. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to die on a tree. Come together. Come together. And seeing men as trees, I talked to the Lord. I said, God, what were you really trying to communicate with this message here? I need a deeper level of revelation on what is happening here. Why is this particular passage right there? Seeing men as trees. Seeing men as trees is seeing men as your Savior. Seeing men as the ones that are going to pay the price for your salvation, for your redemption, for your healing. Looking at men as your source. And God has to take you past that point. As long as you think that your bank account is your answer to life, you're still in trouble. You're going to settle. Seeing men as trees is to see men towering over you. He says he saw men as trees walking, and the Bible says, after that he put his hands again. Someone say he put his hands again upon his eyes. And this time, and made him look up. And made him what? Look up. Go back to the previous verse, 23. Let's see what happens. He takes a man out, led him out of the town, spat on his face, his eyes, put his hands upon him, and asked him if he saw off. 24, watch this. And he what? That he did by his strength. He looked up. That's depending on his ability, what he could do. You and I need to move past what we can do to the place, 25, where the Bible says, and made him, Jesus made him look up. This was not him looking up in his own ability. This was the Lord making him look up. And when he looked up, he says, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. You know, the next time, you know, the other time the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, made that kind of a statement about seeing men clearly was when he exposed them because of what they wanted to do in their own strength, how they wanted to make their own king. He saw men, you know, for who they are. Every one of us need to see people as we really ought to see them and see through the eyes of God what God wants you to see clearly. You see? Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. Are you measuring life properly? What's your measuring stick? You know what God's measuring stick is? God's measuring stick is, be ye holy, for I am holy. Not be ye holy based on how society, what society says is okay. And most decisions we're making in our lives is based on what society says. We've not defined ourselves based on what the Word of God says. And so we consistently are settling. And we are in that state. Saints, if you don't know what's happening in our world, we are moving steadily towards the one world government system. We're moving steadily towards the mark of the beast. And if your way of knowing the provision of God is based on your 9-to-5 work, if your only way of knowing the provision of God is Safeway or Super Value, Sobeys, you know what? You are going to find yourself in a very serious situation. Because you and I need to begin to kick off from now into the dimension of knowing that God is my source, God is my provider, God, and allow God to train you. Make you, made him look up, made him look up, made him look up. You know what? God will make you look up by bringing you to a place where you are frustrated with the natural ways of provision. Man is going to do this, man is going to do this, man is going to do that, man is going to do this, man is going to do that, this person is going to help me with that, and this person is going to help me with that. And God says, a man is not going to be saved by any of that. We need to be renewed in the spirit of our minds to know that our source is God. God is my source. And God will train you. He will train you. The many experiences I've had through the years when God emptied my bank account, what I had in my pocket, and there was still a long month ahead of me, were trainings to force me to recognize I am your provider. I am your provider. And so I don't care what happens in the world. I'm not going to concern myself. You know, it's good to go get all, you know, pile up all kinds of food and all of that. It's all nice. You know, don't. But the question is, will what you have gathered run out? And then when it runs out, what are you going to do then? What are you going to do? Are you going to place your faith in God who can take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed the multitude and have more over than what he started with? You cannot settle in your walk with God. You've got to see things from God's perspective. Mark chapter 8 passage again. Let me wrap up with this. Jesus, our Lord, heals him. He's restored, and he saw every man clearly. And the next verse says, and he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town. Don't go into the town. Why is he telling him not to go into the town? He's going to join himself when he goes into that town with all of the issues of that town, all of the negative talking in that town, all of the foolishness in that town, and now he's going to fall back to the old same systems. Don't join yourself. Don't go there. But what is remarkable about it is he says, nor tell it to any in the town. Because why? They're going to talk you out of your miracle. There are some things you just need to keep your mouth shut about. Because when people start talking to you about the miracle God has just done in your life, you start thinking, maybe it was a fluke. Something would have changed anyway. Maybe it was not God. And that's how you lose your walk of faith. Be deliberate. Know what you want and go for it. And don't let the voices of this world system shut you down. Oh, be real. Be real. You know, that's one of the... Oh, well. Be realistic. Be realistic. You know, it sounds so good, be realistic. But being realistic does not ever bring you to a place of experiencing the goodness of the Lord. The earth is full of the goodness of God. Being realistic tells you God wants bad for you. Settle. It's okay. Be realistic. Well, I know God can, but be realistic. You know what? I don't want to be realistic defined in those terms. I want to be realistic defined by what God says. This morning, around 7 something, while I was here, there was something I wanted God to do. And I said, God, I need this whatever changed. I'll tell you about it some other time. I said, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know you've got a way. So I need this changed. If I'm being realistic, I would not even ask God to do that. Or maybe because I'm truly realistic, I ask God. Because being realistic in the natural means I wouldn't even dare mention what I was asking. Because that will become an issue, become a burden, it will become whatever. But with God, all things are possible. And because you and I know that, we don't settle. We ask and we receive. We seek and we what? Find. Watch that word, seek. That means you're looking for it. If you're seeking for something, it means that you didn't find it right away, or else you won't be seeking it. You're checking everywhere, you know. Something, and I wrap up with this, something that has become a little bit more prevalent in my thinking in the last few months because of certain things that we're doing in our house. Found out that there were certain things that I needed that I couldn't find. For example, I was looking for some pavers or bricks. I was short of bricks. I went looking for these bricks and they are nowhere to be found. They're gone. So I drove to this particular spot. I stopped the car and I said to the Lord, I said, okay, Lord, you knew I needed these bricks. It's got to be here. Now, I've been to that place before. They didn't have any. I said, it's got to be here because this is the last place. And you knew I was going to need these bricks before I started this project. So I got out of the car. I walked into the place. I said, do you have this kind of bricks? Yeah, we got some over there. I said, let me go see. So I go there. And sure enough, they had the exact color of bricks that I was looking for. Are you listening to me? They had enough of those bricks. When did they get it? The day before. The manufacturer of those bricks was not shipping bricks to nobody, but somehow they shipped it to that particular place where I talked to the Lord about, you know, I needed this thing before I got started. Now, I can go on and tell you stories about different situations, and it brought me to the place, to an awareness of this fact. There is nothing that I need that I am not going to get. Amen. There is nothing that I need that I'm not going to get. Amen. If God has to move heaven and earth, He is going to do it. Yes. My issue is settling. Say, well, let's find a new design. No, we're not finding a new design. The design that we planned on, that's the design that we're following through with. Well, you know what? My clock is ticking. You know, when I was 20, I wanted a millionaire for a husband. A handsome, tall guy. Now I got to 30. Start reducing the ratio. Reducing it. Well, doesn't have to be really that tall. Maybe a little bit shorter might just do okay. He doesn't have to be skinny and have abs. A little barrel would be okay. Now we are 45. We say, God, give me the blind man over there. I'll settle for anything now. No! We're not settling. Hallelujah. God, you have the best for me, and I receive your best by your mercies. Somebody listening. The mercies of God releasing to me all that God has for me. I refuse to settle. Say it loud and clear out of your mouth. I refuse to settle. I come into agreement with God's will for my life. I will be deliberate, focused, unhindered from accomplishing this. God's will is done in my life this day and always. In Jesus' mighty name, I decree it so done. Amen. 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 Do you receive that word? Hallelujah. Praise God.